It's time.
I hear the music. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And simply put, that means that, there are certain things that happen at certain times of the year, and they are offset by whatever weather we experience during that moment. So just to catch you up, a couple of things. I took a few notes. I think I've got five notes here from today's date, February 11th. So starting in 2019, we had 21 inches of snow on the ground. I measured 21 inches of snow on the ground on February 11th in 2019. 10 years earlier, on February 11th in 2009, it was raining and the warm weather had snow melting and the willows were starting to show some real color of spring. A year later, 2008, the bald eagles returned to the nest on Blue Heron Drive. And I have been watching every day to see if they are returning yet. And so far, no one has shown up. In 1995, it was 20 below zero on the morning of February 11th. And I got up early to watch the landing of the space shuttle. When it comes down through the upper atmosphere, it puts out a pretty distinctive glow. And it isn't often that they come in over North America, over Minnesota. And now, of course, the space shuttle has been decommissioned and we no longer operate it. But in 1995, it was scheduled to come in over northern Minnesota, and it would have made a nice glow. So I got up early that morning and went outside at 20 below zero and stood in the yard for about 20 minutes, only to learn that the landing had been scrubbed for that orbit. And so 90 minutes later, the space shuttle came in over northern Minnesota and landed in Florida, and I was 90 minutes after that foray into the yard at 20 below zero, I was under the covers in my bed, staying nice and warm. And so I never did get to see that. In 1984, on February 11th, the temperature reached a high of 38 degrees and it was drizzling. So those are some just a bit of some background history for this date in the past. I think the biggest note for this week and for the winter so far has been the eruption of owls. And if you have been out at all, chances are you have seen perhaps a great gray owl. If you are especially lucky, you may have seen a boreal owl. A lot of the children in their reports had boreal owls as part of their observations. The boreal owl is a rather small owl. Our friend Steve Young over in Nebish, which is the Ojibwe word for tea, as opposed to Nebish, which is the Jewish or what's the Yiddish word for fool or sophomore. At any rate, Nebish is where Steve lives. And he had the opportunity to collect a dead boreal owl. Whether it died of starvation or some other cause is not known, but he collected it and delivered it to the folks at Sec Zim Bog, and hopefully he said it was in perfect shape, just a beautiful little owl, and he marveled at how small it was. They are only a couple of ounces. I think if you had a boreal owl in your hands and felt the body underneath those fluffy feathers, you'd find out that it wasn't much bigger than a robin. They look a little bigger than a robin, but size-wise, underneath all those feathers, probably not much bigger than a robin for the boreal owl. Some folks have seen northern hawk owls, and these are kind of a distinctly marked owl. I'd say the easiest way to identify the hawk owl is that most owls sit sort of vertically. So they have a nice straight back and they are sitting quite upright. The northern hawk owl sits more like a bird of prey, sort of at an angle. So if you were looking at a great gray owl or a boreal owl sitting in a branch or a barred owl, and you drew a line parallel to their back, it would be at 90 degrees to the earth's surface as a general rule, sort of perpendicular. The hawk owl is going to be more like 50 or 45 degrees. It's going to be slanted forward, head not in line with the tail, as would be the case with great gray, great horned, barred, many of the other owls. The northern hawk owl sits kind of at a cant. And speaking of barred owls, I had the opportunity to see one in my yard this past week, Sunday morning. Barred owl came in early and landed in a tree in my front yard, and we watched it for quite a while, and ultimately it flew off without grabbing anything from the bird feeder. But in the past, we have had barred owls quite active around our bird feeder and grabbing up the little voles that come to eat the seeds that fall out of the feeder. So not this time, but I'm sure the owl knows that they're there and will be back. And I hope that I am there at the same time so I can get a good look at it. Speaking of birds in a general way, other birds besides all of those owls, great gray, great horned, boreal, northern hawk owls, barred owls, all being seen this time of year in the Northland, and I hope that you get to see some of them. But besides those birds, magpies, this crow relative, smaller crow relative, bigger than a blue jay, long, long tail, white and black, beautiful birds. And they are throughout the area in most open areas. They like fields more than they like forests. So if you're lucky, you may have a magpie near you. At my feeder, purple finches and goldfinches are quite common. I don't have any red poles. I don't have any pine siskins, but they are in the area. I had a flock of white-winged crossbills come through the area. I could see them up in the top of a spruce tree, and pretty soon they move from one spruce to another. And I've learned over the years that in spite of the fact that you see this flock of 20 or 30 birds, they are not going to come to the feeder. They do not feed at feeders. They are exclusively eating seeds from cones that their cross bills help them pry open. Walking down my driveway this last week, in fact, yesterday, I found fresh turkey tracks. And the other bird that is in the area that is seldom seen, but every once in a while, you'll get a look at the brown creeper. It might come to your feeder. It might be on a tree near your feeder. It's a brown bird, looks a lot like a common sparrow, nothing distinctive about it. But if you get a close look, you'll see that it has a slightly downward curving beak called a decurved beak. And this bird works the tree from the bottom going up and searches the bark crevices for insects. The nuthatches, the red-breasted and white-breasted nuthatches, work the tree from the top going down. So it doesn't really matter if you're a spider or a little worm hoping to hide out. You're going to get caught one way or another. It's either the brown creeper coming from the bottom or the nuthatch coming from the top. But you're going to have to be awfully alert for those kinds of attacks. It's a tough life if you're a small insect out there hoping to avoid detection by a hungry bird. My last couple of notes have to do with plants. And one of the things that I have observed over the past week, and that you probably are, if you're paying really close attention, you probably have noticed that the aspens, some of the trembling aspens, have begun to break bud. much like the willow, the pussy willow, the little white flower that forms on the pussy willows, the aspens belong to the willow family, and they flower much the same. They put out a little fuzzy white bud this time of year, and that bud typically comes, the scale breaks. You see this little white bud. It's very hairy. That hair will get trap heat and help accelerate the development of the flower, but that flower is not going to bloom until April, no matter what. So you'll see them, they do sometimes break their bud scales early, some of them in November. But oftentimes it's January or February before those buds start to pop open. But once they do, they're going to start warming up, and eventually, like mid-April, they will begin to expand and develop pollen, if that's the species, if that's the sex they are, if they're male. If they're female, they will come out and develop the flowers that will be receptive to the pollen. The other thing that I've noticed, and thanks to Kyle Pearson, a friend of mine, sent along a picture that he had seen, and that is the Juneberry. And the Juneberry is not really doing anything spectacular right now, but if you have a Juneberry in your yard, go out and look at the bud. And this one has overlapping bud scales, and at the lap of the bud scale, you will start to see some little white hairs developing. And again, it's a hairy bud. It gets warm. It accelerates the development of the flower and leaf that are in that bud. And all of that will come about fairly early, usually early May, is the first Juneberry flower. And it is the first, the Juneberry is the first flowering shrub in the forest. Wild plum and Juneberry flower within a day of one another. But if you look at the Juneberry, if you have a Juneberry in your yard right now, go out and look at the bud. And if your Juneberry is like mine, you'll see these tiny white hairs that are beginning to emerge from the seams on the bud scales. So there are some signs of spring. I wouldn't give up entirely, even though it's 20 below zero this morning. I don't think that that the world is ready to hold off spring indefinitely. And one of the things that happens in February used to happen to me, and that was that my my right hand would have gotten tan. I was a rural mail carrier, and putting my hand out the window 450 times a day would often expose it to weather, and it would begin to tan. And so the sun is getting ever more powerful, and we are up over 10 hours of daylight per day now from 8.5 hours at the solstice. So spring is coming. Don't worry about this 20 below zero. It doesn't mean nothing. That's the Phenology Show for this week. We'll talk again next week.
That is the Phenology Show. You can learn more about nature by checking out our website, kaxe.org, or signing up for that Season Watch newsletter. Charlie, the one that came out over the weekend is about how she never realized, what am I trying to say? How you can see signs of spring at this point, just doing this job. Yep. She has realized it. So very interesting.
I think a lot of us in February, we're just kind of just plodding along and keeping our hats pulled down and our gloves on tight and hoping that, that, you know, March and April will come, and indeed they will. But for those of us who, you know, really, really, really look closely at things, just because we're bored or I don't know, afflicted by some kind of compulsion, we begin to see some signs of spring a little earlier than just about everybody else.
Yeah, she wrote, is it late winter or early spring? She said, an unexpected benefit of studying phenology, somehow my winters seem about 3 months shorter. When I started 3 years ago, spring didn't seem to start until April. Now that I'm paying more attention, this time of year seems bursting with signs of spring, breeding songs of birds, swelling buds on aspen trees, and skunks shuffling stinkily through the snow.
I forgot to mention that there were a couple of reports of skunks being smelled. Kyle Pearson told me that he had smelled a skunk near his home, which is out by the Grand Rapids Marine on Highway 2 going west towards Cohasset. So, so the skunks are definitely awakening and hoping to find a female. It's usually the males that get out and start wandering around.